and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Today's show is part of our Classics Collection, a series of select rebroadcasts. Now, years ago, when we started our radio program, it was first called the Evangelism Hotline. I'm joined with my co-hosts, Alfredo Canencia and Martin Arinaga. Here's one of our most captivating guests, including some lively dialogue with our featured guest, Kirby Anderson. J. Kirby Anderson is the National Director of Probe Ministries. Highly educated at Oregon State University in zoology, with advanced degrees from Yale University and Georgetown University, respectively, with specializations in science and government. Also educated at the Kennedy Institute of Bioethics in Washington, D.C. Kirby is a renowned author, with some of his latest books being Genetic Engineering, Moral Dilemmas, Christian Ethics in Plain Language, A Biblical Point of View on Islam, A Biblical Point of View on Homosexuality, and his latest release titled A Biblical Point of View on Intelligent Design. His books and other resources can be found at www.probe.org, probe.org. Kirby Anderson serves as host of Point of View, heard on 180 radio outlets nationwide, and on the internet, and on shortwave radio. His lecture series is immense, including such topics as arguments for the existence of God, God and evil, business and ethics, death and the afterlife, Christian view of government and social action, artificial reproduction, creation and evolution, going to college without going astray, temptation and the biblical response, and much, much more. Kirby has lectured at the nation's top universities, such as Vanderbilt, Princeton, Johns Hopkins, the University of Michigan, Colorado, the University of Texas. He is a visiting professor at Dallas Theological Seminary and Philadelphia Biblical University. Kirby, it is a blessing to have you. Welcome to our program.
Well, Danny, thank you so very much for letting me be a part of the program today.
Well, we look forward to our time together and the interaction that we'll have with our radio guests. Our phone number here is 808-296-5467. Kirby, you are a man of tremendous intellect. And at the same time, your heart is so soft toward God and warm toward people. And many who have not yet come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way. Give us a little personal background. Tell us how you came to know the Lord.
Well, you know, Danny, I thought it was interesting that Martin read that quote from C.S. Lewis, because in a large way, C.S. Lewis was very instrumental in my conversion. I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area and wasn't exactly in the hotbed of biblical teaching, as you might know.
Mm-hmm.
But in the midst of that, I heard some people begin to talk about Jesus in a way that was very attractive to me, because before I sort of thought of him as a historical figure, but they were talking about him as if they had a relationship with him. And one of the speakers, who had actually been a football player on the University of California Berkeley team, had mentioned two books. And I was in Berkeley and was at a used bookstore, and I found both of the books. One was a book by C.S. Lewis called Mere Christianity, and another book by John Stott called Basic Christianity. And as I read through those books, I began to see the evidence for the Christian faith, and I really became a Christian right then.
Wow.
And in some respects, as you know, I'm with a group called Probe Ministries, and you know a good friend of ours, Pat Zuckerin, who's into apologetics. This whole idea of having to defend your faith really was a very significant part of my life because it was really what led me to the Lord in that sense. Later on, I worked with various groups, Campus Crusade for Christ, Navigators InterVarsity. When I joined Probe, of course, we speak on campuses all over the United States, all over the world, really. And as a result, I've really had to know how to defend the Christian faith, and a lot of it really goes back to becoming a Christian in the Berkeley scene right there in the San Francisco Bay Area.
It seems as though the Lord had you destined for what you're doing now, having you grow up in that hotbed.
Well, and my wife went on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ, and one of her teachers was a man who had been on Crusade staff but actually formed Probe. And the whole time she began to hear Jimmy Williams talking about Probe, she thought, you know, this guy, Kirby Anderson, I used to know in college, he would be perfect for this. I was vice president of the student body, and I used to use some of my speeches as an opportunity to give the gospel or to explain Christianity. And so when she told me about that, I said, you know, this is incredible because, in a sense, you've created a ministry to do what I'm sort of doing part-time. And so I've been able to do it full-time now for 32 years of ministry.
Wow. Well, time is of the essence, and we are privileged to have such a guest of Kirby's caliber. We're focusing today on how to witness to people who are committed to the Muslim faith. Call us at 808-296-5467, 808-296-5467. Kirby, you've written a book, A Biblical Point of View on Islam. What is it that Christians need to know about Islam to better be prepared to reach their Muslim friends with the love of Jesus Christ?
Well, Danny, that's one of the reasons I wrote that book. It's part of a series, as you know, where in a sense, in each one of the books, I sort of say, here are the 50 questions, 50 or 60 questions I most run into when I do radio or when I go out and speak, and I'm going to try to give you a 2 to 5 minute answer. But especially on Islam, there's a lot of misconceptions. You know, you hear people saying Christians and Muslims worship the same God, Islam is a religion of peace, Muhammad and Jesus were similar religious founders. And I think the first thing that Christians really need to know is that Islam is a monotheistic religion. Mm-hmm. And so there are some real similarities between Christianity and Islam, and that really provides you with a bridge. The second thing I think they need to know is even though there are similarities, there are striking differences. And just as you as a Christian might have a misconception about Islam, many of your Muslim friends would as well. They may not really understand what you mean when you talk about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They may not understand the Trinity. And you don't have to necessarily be able to answer every question that they have. But instead, the good news is, you already mentioned our website, we have lots of articles that Don Clausen, Pat Zuckerin, and myself have written on Islam. I'll be glad to get copies of these books to anybody that wants them, and even make them available to your ministry if people want to get those, because I just think that you shouldn't be afraid to talk to your Muslim friends. If anything, I think as you extend yourself and reach out, especially in this sort of post-9/11 world where a lot of Muslims have felt like maybe they've been marginalized, they wonder if Christians would even want to talk to them or care about them. If you just extend yourself and show a little bit of hospitality, show a little bit of graciousness, I think you'll be able to develop some great conversations, and there is lots of information that you can get if they ask a question or make a statement that you don't know how to respond to.
You know, a lot of times when we're watching the news, we could be watching CNN or one of the other news channels, Fox News, and when they talk about Islam, sometimes we hear words like the Shiite Muslim or the Sunni Muslim. What's the difference, Shiite, Sunni? And I think there's another group, the Sufi.
That's right. And real quickly, this is important because most of the Muslims you will probably run into, and I speak on a lot of college campuses, and if you're, for example, around a campus like University of Hawaii or something like that, you're going to probably run into a Sunni Muslim. Sunni means Sunnah or following the Sunnah or the practice of Islam. About 80% of all Muslims in the world are Sunni Muslims. They would be the kind kind of Muslims you would run into in Egypt or Turkey or places like that. So they are the predominant group, and they follow the practice of Muhammad. There is a smaller group known as Shiite Muslims, and they are about, around numbers, about 15%. They follow the idea of the Shia, or that they believe that there should be a leader on earth who is related back to Muhammad. And so they actually trace their leadership back to Ali, who was the son-in-law of Muhammad. You tend to find Shiite Muslims mostly in the southern part of Iraq, and most importantly in Iran. And those would be the two dominant groups. But you also, Danny, mentioned real quickly the Sufi Muslims.
Yeah.
They tend to be more of the mystics, the whirling dervishes and things of that nature.
Okay.
You will find some of them in Iraq. But primarily, most of the Muslims you're going to run into are going to be Sunni Muslims, and they represent the very largest number of Muslims in the world, and probably most likely the individuals that you would most likely have contact with in your day-to-day contact with them in the particular culture where you find yourself.
Now, when we consider people like Osama bin Laden or Muammar Ahmadinejad, where would these characters fit in?
Oh, sure. Well, first of all, interestingly enough, Osama bin Laden would be a Sunni Muslim. Most Sunnis tend to be fairly peace-loving, but there is a smaller group of Sunni Muslims known as Wahhabi Sunnis, which are in Saudi Arabia. All the 9/11 hijackers were Wahhabi Sunnis, and they trace themselves back to a reformer in Islam in the 18th century that began to call for a literal interpretation of the Quran, and really at that time was talking about throwing off the colonial powers. Today it is the idea of being engaged in a jihad against the West. So Osama bin Laden would be what you would call a Sunni Muslim, but he's a particular kind, a Wahhabi Sunni. When you talk about Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who is the leader of Iran, he is a Shiite Muslim, and actually he believes that there is going to be the return of a 12th Imam, and that that is an individual that will come about in the midst of a major conflict. And so Mahmoud Ahmadinejad spends a fair amount of time talking about the little Satan, which is Israel, and the big Satan, which is the United States. And so there are oftentimes, with especially the Shiite Muslims, and he fits into that category, is a lot more tension and oftentimes a great deal of aggression towards the West, and certainly we've seen that in some of the pronouncements that he has made as he has been the leader there in Iran.
Now, these beliefs are very, very deep in their theological underpinnings. So they're acting out of deep-seated conviction, aren't they?
Well, they certainly are, and as a matter of fact, it is interesting that just the way it turned out, the show that I did earlier today on the subject of Islam, I had a guest on who has just published a book, and it was talking about the number of Muslims who have left Islam and become Christians, or at least have gotten involved in the West. And he's put together a book of their testimonies.
Mm-hmm.
But interestingly enough, one of the things that came out of the interview that we did today was how really, Islam is more than just a religion. It is really a political movement, and it is a way of life.
Mm.
We, Danny, oftentimes have this idea of the separation of church and state, but if you go to what you oftentimes find is there's no separation between mosque and state, but just the opposite. You have this idea that read, say, the Quran, as you read the Hadith, which is another book that is important in Islam.
Mm-hmm.
It basically tells you how to pray, when to pray, how to engage in all sorts of different kinds of activities, food to eat, various kinds of hygiene. And so it really is a very deep. And so when you find yourself oftentimes talking about Islam, you're oftentimes talking about individuals who are actually dealing with these kinds of issues in a way that is much more significant and really pervasive in terms of the way in which they are involved in these issues.
Kirby, we have a caller from Honolulu. Cristiano, welcome to our program.
Sir, thank you for having me. I would like your guest to elaborate, please. I'm Christian by faith, of course, and I was in the program before. I think you had the Mr. Danny Lehman as your guest.
Yes.
But I would like to. I have an art ministry, and I'm kind of sharing with. When I meet somebody who's Muslim, I ask them before I get into any detail, I asked them to explain me why do they have the crescent moon and star of Lucifer on their Quran. And also, from my knowledge, the Prophet Muhammad was not sure of his salvation. And I asked them, how can you trust in somebody who is not sure of his own salvation?
Mm-hmm.
Me, as a Christian, I have the assurance of mm-hmm. salvation mm-hmm. Through Lord Jesus Christ. So pretty much this is how I opened their mind. And my motto is, before you invest, you got to investigate. And as we know, when Moses went on the Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments, his brother and the people who were with him, they were impatient, and they built a golden calf with a crescent moon on the head of the... I think that was called, if I'm not mistaken, the Baal religion, correct? And Muslim faith descends from this, from Baal religion, because... it's in their flag. You can see it's on their flag, the crescent moon. You can't explain it away. And Allah means the moon god.
Hey, Cristiano?
Yes.
Do you have a question for Kirby?
Yes, yes.
Can Go ahead and ask your question.
What I said? No. Well, my question will be about if the Prophet Muhammad is not sure of his salvation, how can people believe in him?
Kirby?
Yeah, Cristiano, I think you raised a very good point, because one of the things that I like to try to do is build a bridge. So, if I can do that by talking about issues of need in the individual, that really provides an opportunity. And there was an interesting study that was done a while back, and that was done by a seminary where they talked to 600 former Muslims and asked them, why did you leave Islam and become a Christian? And the number one reason was the idea of the love of God. They were very attracted to the idea that you could know God personally. But the second reason, Cristiano, I think, really touched on, and that is the assurance of salvation. Because in Islam, Danny, mm-hmm. what you find is you really have no assurance of your salvation. You try to follow the five pillars of Islam. You try to do various good works, and you hope that God, in this case Allah, will grant you entrance into heaven because your good works will outweigh your bad works. But you really never have assurance of your salvation. And so I find that two of the best things to talk to Muslims about when you're witnessing to them are, number one, to talk about the love of God, and we can come back to that in just a minute, but number two, to talk about the fact that if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you can know for certain that you will have eternal life. And that is a very compelling argument, and it is very emotionally compelling to a Muslim who he or she has probably been working their whole life for the hope that they might achieve salvation. But to have the assurance of that, I think, is a very powerful way to witness to your Muslim friend.
And I would imagine, too, that there would be times where, obviously, generations have followed this belief system, and they grow up both culturally as well as socially, so their whole world revolves around it. In light of that, how does it impact, you know, this message of the gospel, the love of God, and receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior, how do they receive that, generally speaking?
Well, and I think this is kind of interesting, Danny, because what you find is that in Islam, Allah is distant. He is unknowable. To use a theological term, he is transcendent. So Allah is out there and I'm here. So I can really never know Allah. He reveals himself through his word, the Quran. He reveals himself through the Prophet Muhammad. He reveals himself through maybe angels, but you cannot know him personally.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Christianity, we say we can know God. We can, for example, we call God our Father. Think of the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so we can feel the love of God. So on the one hand, when you talk about the love of God to a typical Muslim, in their head, it feels almost heretical. It's kind of like, no, we can't know God. But in their heart, that's exactly what they desire.
Mm.
And so oftentimes, as you point out, it's a very definite cultural experience. For a Muslim to leave the Muslim faith is oftentimes to turn their back on their family, to turn their back on their culture. And so it's not a quick decision that sometimes is made. Sometimes it's a process. But one of the things that is so attractive, because all of us are looking for the love of God, and
yes.
they certainly have been diligently trying to find love, but they can't feel it through worship, service, and experience through all the works that they have to do in Islam. But when you begin to talk about the love of God, even though sometimes their head might reject it at first, their heart desires it, and it's really a great opportunity for evangelism.
Hey, Cristiano.
Yes, I'm very pleased with the answer, but can your guest also elaborate in the crescent moon? And we know the what they have on the Quran, they don't have the Star of David, which is the six-angled star, but they have the Star of Lucifer, which is the five-angled star. And that explains right away that Allah means the moon god. We've been on the moon, and we know God created the moon. Moon is not a god. So therefore, this explains that they are believing in error. I mean, can your guest please elaborate on this, on the crescent moon, on their flag, and on their Quran? Thank you.
Are we going to go to a break
right now? Thank you, Cristiano. We're going to be going to a break right now, and Kirby will answer that when we get back. Kirby Anderson from Dallas, Texas, National Director of Probe Ministries, our special guest today. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
One thought, one insight, one lesson can give you a winner's edge. Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge, includes over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from his personal collection on leadership, relationships, hope, family, teamwork, love, and much more. Winner's Edge by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. And don't forget Paradise Calls, Danny Yamashiro's remarkable story of God's miracle, saving him from falling 400 feet off the Pali Ridge, a story that's brought hope to thousands around the world. Winner's Edge and Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available in ebook at Amazon Kindle. And listen to Danny Yamashiro and his featured guests on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show weekdays on 99.5 KGU FM at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Connect with Danny on Facebook and Twitter and find out more at DannyYamashiro.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
The Islamic faith is one of the fastest growing religions in the world today. Did you know that God loves all Muslims? Well, today we have a special program. It's a rebroadcast as part of our classics collection. Some of our classics all go back a number of years to the time when the Good Life Hawaii radio program was called the Evangelism Hotline. These are the earlier days. And today's show, as part of our classics collection, is a program featuring our guest where we had live call-in. And some of the call-in was very lively, and I think you'll not only be engaged by it, but you'll benefit from it, because we're looking at ways to reach our Muslim friends, people that you might know at work, maybe even family members. To find out more about our show, you can go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. You can access this program, download it for free. I'm joined with my co-host, Alfredo Canencia and Martin Arenaga, and our featured guest from Dallas, Texas, Kirby Anderson. Our guest, Kirby Anderson, National Director of Probe Ministries. renowned author, speaker, and he's here talking with us on the subject of how to witness to people who are committed to the Muslim faith. It's been quite an enriching time. In the next 2 weeks, stay with our broadcast. We will be rebroadcasting a couple of shows that have stimulated a lot of interest. And beginning in August, a new series of events will be launched by the Jesus Christ is Calling You Ministries that will have the potential to stimulate you in evangelism unlike you have ever been moved before. Stay tuned for more. You can always go to our website, www.jccy.org. Kirby, our guest Cristiano was talking to us about his experiences witnessing to people there in Waikiki. By the way, Martin had made a good point that there are with such exposure, we very well may be joined with listeners who people like a Cristiano have been trying to reach out to with the love of Jesus Christ. But talk to us, Kirby, about that crescent moon that Cristiano was referring to.
Certainly. I might even mention, too, if Cristiano wants to leave his address with you, if you maybe already have it, I'll be glad to send him an autographed book because I'm sure he'd like to read it. And
sure.
Maybe that would be helpful to him. I'd be glad to give that to him free of charge and autograph it to him. His point is well taken, and that is some people that have done the kind of the background research on Islam, Dr. Robert Morey has his PhD in Islamic studies, Norm Geisler and some others, have said there is certainly lots of evidence that even before Muhammad there was a god known as Allah, that his father worshipped that there were 360 deities in the Kaaba in Mecca. And so it probably is indeed true that a lot of this was predating the supposed revelations by Muhammad. And so while that is true, I'm always looking, Danny, as you are, for what's the most effective evangelistic strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tend to put that further back in my discussion with individuals. I like to talk about the love of God. I like to talk about the misconceptions they may have about who Jesus Christ is, about the way of salvation. Those are really good bridge builders. Sometimes when you come to someone and you talk about, well, you're worshiping a false god or you have a symbol on the Quran that is wrong, it really kind of ends up being a barrier. And
yeah.
So I'm always looking for ways to build a bridge. So while it is true, I would tend not to put that into my evangelistic toolbox.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the first thing I would pull out of it when I'm talking to Muslims. Instead, I'd want to talk about those things which are much more effective. And I certainly think that we now have very good evidence from various seminaries who have done interviews with individuals who have left Islam and come to Christianity, that the two primary reasons individuals leave Islam and come to Christianity, not only here in the United States, but even overseas, are number one, the love of God, and number two, the assurance of salvation. So I would want to lead with those kinds of discussions and probably spend less time talking about the crescent moon, the moon god, and some of the other things that Cristiano mentioned.
Well, that's very practical, very practical. Because we don't want to even win an argument, as we've talked before, Kirby, you know, we can win that argument, but we can lose their heart at the same time. And they probably just shut down and not want to dialogue anymore, even though we might have given them a better argument or response. When we talk about a basic overview of the theology of Islam and how it differs from Christianity, when we're talking about salvation, when we as Christians use the word salvation, we have a certain understanding of what that means. What goes into the mind of a Muslim when we use that same word?
Well, I think this brings us back to some key verses. One that I would encourage our listeners to write down right now would be Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. The reason I say that is that for a Muslim, when you talk about salvation, it is very definitely in Islam a works-oriented salvation. You pray five times a day. There's a certain posture that you are engaged in when you pray. There's certain things you do, certain things you don't do, and
mm-hmm.
it's all with the hope that is, I am obedient to the law and the will of Allah. Hopefully my good works will outweigh my bad works, and he will allow me into heaven. but I never really have the assurance of salvation, because really, in a sense, salvation is by works. Well, let's go back to Ephesians 2:8-9. What does the gospel say? Well, it says that we are saved by faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. And so really, what we have to help them understand is this key word, grace, that we are saved by grace. In other words, Jesus came and paid a penalty that he did not need to pay, because we had a penalty that we could not pay. In other words, he came and died in our place. And so the only way that a sinful individual can actually reach to a holy God is if we are made blameless, if we are made righteous, and that is only accomplished when Jesus died and paid the penalty we deserve so that we might have everlasting life. And so I think one of the biggest hang-ups for a typical Muslim, apart from the love of God, which we've just talked about, is this issue of salvation, because they have had it ingrained in them since they were born that they have to follow a righteous path, they have to be engaged in good works, and hope that their works are sufficient for them to merit favor before Allah. But we know, as we look at the Bible, that if we have a proper view of who God is and a proper view of who we are, we have a holy God and we have sinful man, there is nothing we can do to merit favor before a holy and righteous God. That's the bad news. But the good news is that God sent his Son in the person of Jesus Christ to pay a penalty that we might have everlasting life.
Kirby, you know, when we share with a Muslim from the Bible, you know, they have their Quran. We believe the Bible is the Word of God, and so we use it as our source of our presentation, the source and the anchor of our faith. Now, when we use the Bible to explain, and we quote Ephesians 2:8-9, how do they weigh the validity and the substance of the Bible in comparison with the Quran?
Ooh, very good question, because you can run into a difficulty sometimes with Muslims, because they have been taught also that the Bible is true. They believe that Moses was a prophet, Jesus was a prophet, Muhammad is the seal of the final prophets. They believe that there have been many revelations, but the only perfect revelation they believe is the Quran. They believe that there are mistakes in the transmission of the Bible. Now, I'll come back to how you answer that question in just a minute, but what I have found is you can even start with the Quran witnessing to your Muslim friends. Now, think about this for just a minute, because we heard just a minute ago by Cristiano, I think he aptly pointed out the fact that in the Quran, it is recorded that Muhammad did not have assurance of his salvation. As a matter of fact, there's a place in the Quran, and I document it in my book, where actually Allah tells Muhammad to repent of his sins. So when you read the Quran, first of all, you find out that Muhammad was a sinner, and Muhammad did not have assurance of his salvation. However, it also says in the Quran that Jesus was born of a virgin, and the Quran teaches that Jesus was sinless. So what I find oftentimes is to say to a Muslim, would you not like to know about this sinless prophet? Because even Muhammad did not claim to be sinless, but yet your Quran teaches that Jesus was sinless. Now, also, Muhammad at one point in the Quran talks about the fact that in order to understand of the revelation, we need to read the before books. Well, the before books, these are the books written before the Quran. Well, the before books would be the Old and the New Testament. I show to my Muslim friends, actually, Muhammad gives you permission to read the New Testament. And so I have them read maybe the Gospel of John. And it's amazing how many times once they read the Gospel of John, they become Christians, because they realize for the first time what God has done through the person of Jesus Christ. So sometimes you can actually witness to a Muslim without even using the Bible. You can just use their own Quran to give them a little bit of a curiosity, because, yeah, that's right. The Quran does say that Jesus, he's called Yeshua in the Quran, is actually sinless, and that provides an open door for a conversation about who Jesus
is. Wow. That's great stuff, Kirby. Kirby, that's great stuff. You've got to get Kirby Anderson's book, A Biblical Point of View on Islam. Now, this book is a series, part of a series, and you'll want to get the whole series. You can get Kirby's books and his other resources at www.probe.org. That's P-R-O-B-E. www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. We do have a caller calling in. We'll take him after the break. We're here with Kirby Anderson, along with Martin Arenaga, Alfredo Canencia. Kirby Anderson from Dallas, Texas, National Director of Probe Ministries. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated, LNS Enterprises Marine Consultants, and Quilopo Painting Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become one, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 FM KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, connecting your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling,
you're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
We must not lose sight of the fact that the Lord has us here for a purpose. We're here on this earth. Anybody who is a Christ follower is here for a reason, and that's to share the gospel with family members, friends, people who have not yet come to a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might experience the love of God, the mercy, grace, and forgiveness of the Lord. And today we're talking, as part of our classics collection, we are rebroadcasting a very vital, dynamic, very lively discussion with live call-ins from our featured guests and others who are calling in on this show. And we focus on reaching people who have come from the Islamic faith, the Muslim background. I'm joined by my co-hosts Alfredo Canencia and Martin Arenaga. To download this show, you can download it for free. You can get it at thegoodlifehawaii.org. Our featured guest from Dallas, Texas is Kirby Anderson of Probe Ministries. We have as our guest Kirby Anderson from Dallas, Texas, National Director of Probe Ministries. Kirby, we have a caller from Maui, Greg. Greg, welcome to our program.
Thanks for taking my call. And am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
All right. I was just listening, and, you know, I'm not as knowledgeable as your guest, but I just had some gut reactions, and you can correct my ignorance, but I'm just going to... what I'm thinking is you're evangelizing to Muslims, and that's different from, seems to me, dialoguing. And, you know, you did want to build a bridge that they Muslims and Christians share the God of Abraham. I think that's what you said, as well as the Jews. And that's a great bridge, but then you go on to say that, you know, the Christians leaving, Muslims abandoning their religion for Christianity, and I'm aware of a lot of Christians that have left Christianity for Islam. And as far as, I just think it's not building a bridge when you say that Jesus, the God of Jesus, is the God of love, and whereas God of Islam isn't. I think we agreed that they're the God of Abraham, and there's a judgment both in Christianity and in Islam. And in my understanding, Christianity, no one has salvation in the bag. Jesus never said that, and there's many names of God. God in the Quran is the loving, the all embracing, the wise, full of forgiveness, who makes himself known and is closer to us in our jugular vein. So, you know, if you want a dialogue or witness, I think you need to present a more whole picture of Islam, and that's all I wanted to say. If you have any comments, I'll listen to you off the air.
Certainly. A couple points. First of all, there are the 99 names of Allah, so there are many names that are there, so I think that's a good point to bring up. But I think your point's well taken when you go to focus on the subject of judgment. That is something that is part of that idea of salvation. I think there's a real desire on the part of Muslims to really get to know and to understand and to know God. But at the same time, ultimately, salvation is to avoid a judgment that is coming. And the question that you have to ask yourself as an individual is, can I work my way to salvation, or am I incapable of doing that, and only can God's intervention in my life save me? And that really is the fundamental watershed, if you will, because Christianity says there ultimately is nothing I can do to achieve salvation. Almost all the other world religions and all the other kinds of various religious groups say, no, there's enough that you might be able to work your way into heaven. And so I think you also want to come back to, do you have a proper view of who God is? Do you have a proper view of who you are as a sinner? And do you have a proper view of salvation? And so that brings us into one other aspect of maybe some of the misconceptions. I would say that Islam assumes that human beings are really not fallen, that the scriptural idea that there is original sin, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, you really don't have that concept in Islam. There's the idea that Adam fell, but God forgave them, and so we can achieve our own salvation. That doesn't square with not only biblical theology, it doesn't really square with what I know about human nature. And so if you really understand who God is, and you really understand who human beings are, you realize that there is an enormous and unreachable gulf between a holy God and sinful man. And thus, at this point, the only way that you can achieve salvation is if indeed someone pays that ultimate penalty, and that's who Jesus Christ is. So Islam redefines who God is, most importantly redefines who Jesus is, and says he's not the salvation of the world, but instead just a prophet, and also redefines who human beings are and say that we're not ultimately sinful, and that as a result, it redefines salvation. So if you're going to come back to that issue of judgment, you really have to come back to an understanding of how we are saved, and that we are saved by grace through faith, not as a result of works. And that's why I think that one of the most important passages in the Bible to really understand in terms of talking to Muslims is Ephesians 2:8-9, because it really brings us back to this idea of grace, that we are saved rather than by works that we are saved.
You know, Kirby, and let's face it, most Christians are intimidated by Muslims. And many Christians are intimidated by people of other faiths. We just feel a little bit uncomfortable around people who think differently, believe differently, or have, and I think this might be a very strong representation, we might feel so strongly about our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we come up with someone. I was going to say come against someone, but come beside someone, which I think is a better term, beside someone who has a equally strong conviction in a different belief system. Now, in light of that, in sort of a parting shot, how should we as Christians respond to Islam and Muslims, people whom we know?
Well, I think what we need to do is, as I said before, as we were even talking with Greg there, we do develop a dialogue of sorts. I mean, I find myself crossing paths with various Muslims and other individuals of different religious beliefs. Obviously, I've written a book on it, better at responding to some of the questions. But I think, you know, in many ways, what we want to do is be willing to listen, be willing to ask questions. And also, if something comes up that we don't have an answer for, to say, you know, that's a good point. I may go back and research that, and then we can chat again. In the old days, I can remember when I first started doing ministry, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have the ability to go home, get on the computer, keywords, and find things that we were looking for. I found that very quickly I had to go develop a library of books to help answer some of my questions. But what I found now is that the internet provides a real opportunity for us to just be able to get some of the information. And I would suggest our website, probe.org, but there are many others out there as well. There's Watchman Fellowship, and there's Christian Research Institute, and many others. So you, if you're just willing to put yourself out there, extend hospitality, be willing to listen, engage in a conversation, I think there are just going to be great opportunities that God will provide you with opportunities to speak to Muslim friends, co-workers, neighbors, and really share with them the love of Jesus Christ.
Your newest book, A Biblical Point of View of Intelligent Design, is now out.
Certainly is. Came out the other day.
And we're excited about it being out. And I'd like for you to tell us a little bit about it when we come back from our break. We're going to be here with Kirby Anderson. He's going to talk to us a little further about his newest book, A Biblical Point of View of Intelligent Design. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Have you been?
One thought, one insight, one lesson can give you a winner's edge. Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge, includes over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from his personal collection on leadership, relationships, hope, family, teamwork, love, and much more. Winner's Edge by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. And don't forget Paradise Calls, Danny Yamashiro's remarkable story of God's miracle, saving him from falling 400 feet off the Pali Ridge, a story that's brought hope to thousands around the world. Winner's Edge and Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available in ebook at Amazon Kindle. And listen to Danny Yamashiro and his featured guests on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show weekdays on 99.5 KGU FM at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Connect with Danny on Facebook and Twitter and find out more at DannyYamashiro.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Author, nationally syndicated radio host, much sought-after speaker. His name is Kirby Anderson. He's our featured guest today. This is part of the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show's Classics Collection. Early on, when we first started our radio program, it was called the Evangelism Hotline. It was a live call-in show, and we've had some lively calls. This particular show, we were talking about ministering to, witnessing to, sharing the love of Jesus Christ with people who come from a Muslim background, the Muslim faith, Islamic faith. And our guest was sharing, taking those live calls, and it was a very dynamic discussion. He's also written other books. He's from the ministry. He's the ministry called Probe, ministriesprobe.org. And his books, at this time, he wrote a new book called A Biblical View of Intelligent Design. In this last segment, he's going to talk a little bit about that book, and then we'll have a few more comments as we wrap up our show. Here's our time. I'm with Martin Arenaga and Alfredo Canencia, along with Kirby Anderson. Kirby is the National Director of Probe Ministries. He has a new book out titled A Biblical Point of View of Intelligent Design. Why is it, Kirby, why is it such a big topic of debate in the educational, political, scientific, and religious arenas?
You know, it really is a big issue, and it's probably one of the things I've spoken on more than anything. When I first graduated from Yale University, it was to speak on creation evolution issues. Since then, I went to Georgetown and do more government things. But I found that there is a lot packed into this issue of origins. I find that a lot of people will just have problems with the idea of intelligent design, because after all, if there is evidence for design, then that means there's a designer, and that person, that designer might have a place on my life. And so sometimes this debate isn't just a scientific debate, it becomes a theological debate. But on the other hand, I found that it's another one of those open doors. More recently, the movie, the documentary Expelled, did fairly well in the movie theaters. This next year, there's going to be some various presentations on the anniversary of the birth of Charles Darwin. And so I think there's going to be a lot of discussion about evolution and intelligent design. And, of course, we read in Romans 1 that the creation gives evidence for the fact that there is a designer, and that that gives us an opportunity to share the gospel. So this book was an attempt, again, to kind of look at what I found were about 50 or 60 questions that people have about intelligent design, the fossil record, genetics, all those kinds of things, and to really try to give you some short answers so that you would have a little better understanding, because this is one of those topics that just surfaces almost always in a conversation. You have people saying, well, you don't really believe there's a God, do you? Well, evolution is true, so why should I believe God exists? And so I found that that is another one of those very important conversation starters, very helpful in terms of evangelism, but also helpful in terms of just understanding that from a theological point of view.
And aren't we living in a time where Christianity is coming under attack by people who are strongly atheistic and trying to discredit any belief in God? But not only that, but to attack the Christian faith?
Certainly. You look at the New York Times bestseller list, and there have been all sorts of books by Richard Dawkins, The God Delusion, Sam Harris, and The End of Faith, and Letter to a Christian Nation, Daniel Dennett, Christopher Hitchens' God is Not Good. I mean, these are all what are called the new atheists, who start with an evolutionary assumption and are very aggressively arguing that atheism is true and Christianity is not true. Now, Danny, like you, I've done discussions and debates over the years with different people, and I did a debate a while back with an atheist, but the typical debate used to be, well, you have your views and I have my views and we just disagree. Now the new atheists are much more aggressive, saying, I have our view that atheism is true and I think you are wrong. More importantly, I think that you are deluded, and most importantly, I don't think you should be allowed to teach these ideas to your kids. So it's a much more aggressive kind of atheism, and like I said, these books are on the New York Times bestseller list, so
it's no longer possible for a Christian to say, well, I'll just stay in my holy huddle and we'll let the atheists be on their side of the wall and I'll be on my side. No, they're coming on the over the wall saying, no, I'm not even going to let you have your views. So you're going to have to know how to give an answer for your faith.
Mm.
And if you think about it, that's what Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3:15, that we should always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in us. And I think it's even more important now in the 21st century we know how to do that.
You need to get Kirby Anderson's A Biblical Point of View on Intelligent Design. Now, this book is part of a series. We already talked as the main subject of our broadcast today about a biblical point of view of Islam. He also has another book in that same series, A Biblical Point of View of Homosexuality. Now, of course, Kirby has written many, many books and many, many articles and has lectured in such a vast array of topics. You can get these at www.probe.org. That's probe.org. And there are more resources that you can get there. And he did mention, you know, on the Probe staff, they have one of our own local boys, as we say here in these islands, a highly sought-after speaker and author in his own right. He has his own radio show. His name is Patrick Zukaran. Patrick is a graduate of Iolani School. And by the way, Kirby, how's Patrick doing?
Well, Pat had me on his show the other day, Evidence and Answers, to talk about my book, A Biblical Point of View on Homosexuality, because as I think most of your listeners know, the California State Supreme Court ruled that they could begin issuing same-sex marriage licenses. So I've been interacting with Pat and was just doing some interviews with him on his program on that book on homosexuality.
Well, Kirby, it's been great having you with us. We have an evangelism tip of the week that we typically give to our listeners. Alfredo, why don't you give it to us?
The evangelism tip of the week is extended kindness. Look for ways to extend kindness to others in Jesus' name. Sally Cook stated, great opportunities to help others seldom come, but small ones surround us daily. Small actions done consistently can lead to big results for God. This is a simple and effective way of doing evangelism. You know, it says that the kindness of God that leads people to repentance.
This has been a special rebroadcast, a previously recorded show featuring Kirby Anderson. If you'd like to learn more about our show, or need prayer, or want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. Free downloads are also available at thegoodlifehawaii.org. Also, we have a list of partner churches and partner businesses who are able to help meet your needs. Jesus says in John 8:31-32, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, Kirby Anderson of Probe Ministries. Find out more at probe.org. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-hosts, Martin Arinaga and Alfredo Canencia, and my technical producer, Chaz Ontai. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just